बाजी है पुरानी है फिर भी जवानी हनी जी। शर्म भुला के हठुम का लगा के करो ना थोड़ा मन मानी जी। अभी भी तेरे गाल गोरे गोरे लाखों दिलों पे जाने डोरे डोरे।
Hi and welcome to the episode of Two Podcast. This week we're reviewing the movie Ek Main Aur Ek Tu, and we have a very special guest with us. Somebody I call my friend, but I haven't spoken to her that much in real life. But she's a, in my world, she's a media mogul in the making and a true internet star. It's Honey Singh from the Daily Honey.
Hello! Yay, media mogul. Such big words.
You are, though. I mean, I feel the ambition, like, coming out of every video, every post you do, so...
Well, thank you. Yes, world domination, baby. World domination.
Yeah, it's kind of exciting to see somebody who's so, ambitious and positive, with positive energy to do something, which is really getting pretty successful now. I mean, the sticky is reaching probably thousands of people, I imagine, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's getting popular. Every time someone has a nice thing to say about it, I'm like, yay, it's great. You know, people are, you know, open to it. They love the movie reviews. They love just like two minutes a day. They get their news, and I couldn't be happier. I'm just happy they love it, so, yeah.
And how many episodes have you done now? It's 'cause I saw a tweet recently that you've... 50 or something, or?
Yeah, I just wrapped up my 54th.
Wow.
Yeah, but that's not including my reviews. So I've done like 7-8 reviews so far. So probably around 60 something. Yeah, let's see. I'm excited to hit the big 100. Maybe like a party, like an internet party.
Cool.
Live stream. Yeah.
Hopefully we can be invited to that internet
party. Oh yay! Podcast love.
Cool. Okay, let's get started then. Ek Main Aur Ek Tu, it's produced by Dharma Productions, directed by newcomer Shakun Bhatra, starring Imran Khan, Kareena Kapoor. It's kind of a rom-com where opposites attract and kind of has a twist a bit. And it's set in LA. I think Imran...
Vegas.
Oh, Vegas, sorry, yeah, Vegas.
Yes.
Yeah, my US job.
It looked like LA, didn't it? I love the way they had done this, like the setting. You know?
I like that it was... I mean, for a moment I was feeling it was going to be like the classical Yash Raj Dharma in America movie.
Yeah, but it did have
a slightly different feel, so I did kind of like that. And I also like that they came back to India, so it did have both those flavors.
Yeah, and I was afraid how Anjana Anjani made it look so touristy. So I was really happy they took a different route. It was more like suburban, you know, Vegas and things like that, yeah.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
But they just... they did shoot in Vegas. I actually thought they shot a bit in LA. I don't remember. I remember pre-production I was reading something. But yeah, I think it's mostly Vegas.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, so it's set in Vegas. Imran Khan just lost his job as an architect. He's had very dominating parents, so he's kind of afraid to tell them. And he meets Rihanna, who's played by Kareena Kapoor, who's a hairstylist, and things happen. I mean, this is pretty much in the trailer, so I'm not spoiling anything. On a drunken night, they get married, and then things start off from there. So, yeah, I mean, I think... Usually, like our last review we did on You Podcast, we had very similar taste, me and Josh Hurtado from Twitch Film. This is going to be a slightly different review because I think we have completely opposite view on this movie. So, honey, what are your general thoughts on Ek Main Aur Ek Tu?
I absolutely love this film. I feel like I have been waiting for the longest time for an easy, breezy, you know, eating my popcorn, enjoying myself film in theaters. And for me, Ek Main Aur Ek Tu was that. I saw it with Mama Singh and I loved it. I came out of the theater like so happy and, you know, just like, oh, this was nice. It was a little unexpected, the ending. I loved Kareena Kapoor's performance. Imran Khan, I thought, was great. First-time director Shakun Bhatra, he kind of blew me away. Because for a first-time director, I was really amazed by his thoughts and his ideas and the whole script and everything. So I, like, loved it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, me. I'm kind of coming from a different place of mind. I think for me, generally, a Yash Raj movie or a Dharma movie, it's so polished that it doesn't really excite me. You know, so I always kind of feel it's in the same mold. It's kind of same flossy rom com kind of movie set in a foreign country when it's not needed to be in a foreign country at all. But So I wasn't really looking forward to it, although I do like the stars. And I think a lot of people were, I felt hating on the movie without having seen it. So I was kind of going in pretty positive because of the stars, although Dharma, also the thing is with Dharma, they had a bit more credit from me because I just saw Agnipath. So I was like, yeah, man, they finally have something different. They got these new directors in, new blood, new fresh blood, and it's going to be good. And yeah, it just lost me completely. I felt it was exactly what I thought it would be. It was a cold, foreign locations, stars that were very calculated in their approach about how they were doing it. And for me, it felt like a studio system movie completely gone awry. It felt like a movie that's developed from a single pitch, and I think we want to talk about that in the spoiler section at the end of the show, what that pitch exactly is. And then they kind of work their way back to make kind of a cohesive movie, and I think they fail in that because the elements don't gel together. But yeah, that's my thing. I mean, I was kind of disappointed, but I mean, there were some elements that were good. But I want to ask you first. I mean, how? I mean, I know you're a huge Kareena fan, right? How do you stand on Imran?
I think Imran has definitely evolved. The thing with this, I understand why he took this film, obviously, because Shakun Bhatra is, you know, a friend of his, and he was an AD on Jaane Tu Ya Jaane Na, and the lady who wrote the script as well is his hairdresser, aka his wife's best friend. So obviously there's some, you know, there's someone who understands him and who understands his kind of acting and the fact that he's a very understated person. Some people think he can't act. Well, you know what? It depends on the person. He's definitely not Ranbir Kapoor, so I'm not sure why people ever are like, who's the greatest star? Ranbir, your upcoming star, because they're very different in their approaches. I felt Imran Khan was good for his role because it was a very understated little boy lost role that he was doing in this movie. I actually thought it played on his strengths. It was a good match because he's very chill compared to Kareena Kapoor, who has more of the movie to pull along. She's more of the driving force in the movie. She is the soul of the film compared to him. So I thought in his role, what he was given, clearly people understood him, the scriptwriters and the director, so they can pull whatever they could out of him to not make it too much, but enough of like a 25-year-old who has no idea what he's doing, who's like literally shitting his pants every time he talks to his parents, and he's kind of going for a girl that, you know, he regularly wouldn't, and he's just going on it because he has no idea what the hell he's doing. So I thought he was decent in his role.
I think it's funny even in the fact that the way the shots were taken in this movie, normally in a song sequence, the camera focus is usually on the male. The male performer is in the middle of the screen and the women would be on the side. Here I was watching Auntie G and it's completely different. Kareena really is the star. And it's kind of taking further this motif of even something we saw in Mere Brother Ki Dulhan or The Dirty Picture, where women are driving the movie a lot more than the males are, which I find a refreshing way to be looking at a movie and something that is needed, especially when you're dealing with a star of the caliber of Kareena Kapoor.
And I think they understood that, you know, they understood that she is, it's like those typical films. I mean, there's so many romantic comedies, right, that we've seen in Hollywood. It's always like the boy is going on in his life and then he meets a girl and she's so different and she's so vibrant. She just changes his world. So that's what they were clearly doing for Kareena. So I'm happy they gave that, you know, that angle to her, and I'm happy they gave her more, and you're right, with the camera focus, with the, it's so much focused on her family compared to his family. I mean, they do have quite cute moments with Rachna Fatik Shah and Boman Irani, who are playing Imran Khan's parents, but it's definitely more fun to see Bebo interacting with her family, especially when they go back to Mumbai, and I'm really glad they did that. The contrast, because it was amazing. So what did you think about Imran, though? Did you think he was, like, good, decent-ish, average?
But I like Imran. I've always liked the guy. I think he's like, what shines through with him, that he's a nice person, you know? And for me, that works. Like, something like even, like, Junior Bachchan has, you know? Like, he seems to me a nice person, so I can relate to that, because I'm a nice person, too.
Okay, that makes sense.
And I like him almost taking an Aamir Khan kind of approach to the way he's approaching roles. Not that I'm comparing both of them, but I think they have a very subdued style of acting. Aamir in Fana or Aamir in Lagan, it's still Aamir. And I think it's the same thing with Imran. be it in Delhi Belly, be it on Break Ke Baad, was that Break Ke Baad was Deepika's film, yeah?
Yeah, that was the one.
Or I Love Her Love Stories, or this I Hate Love Stories, or now Ek Mein Aur Ek Tu. It is Imran, and I think a lot of people, it irks them that he's playing the same role, but basically he's playing Imran Khan in a different setting. But I do feel that the beats he gives to a character in I Hate Love Stories, I Hate Love Stories was a completely different character, I would say. It was a very outgoing kind of character. He was Kareena's role, in a way, what he's doing.
The anti guy who doesn't believe in love, wants to sleep around, typical male guy who's really confused,
Even if you look at his performance in Break Ke Baad, he puts very different accents in this movie. So I do feel that Ek Mein Aur Ek Tu requires acting and a performance for him, and I think he does well. I think both of the stars do actually well with the roles that they have.
Yeah, I agree. I really liked him in this film. He was so, and I love the way they did his look. He was so dorkily cute, like I said in my thing. He was like a little puppy. You just like want to take him home and be like, I will feed you till you explode. To me, it's his like everyday average normal guy, nice guy routine that I think he's just so relatable to on screen. He's not like a Ranbir Kapoor or like, you know, like a Hrithik Roshan that we put on a platform and we're like, holy shit, you know? He's like, oh my god, yeah, I like your Ron, he's cute, and I don't know, I find he's very non-threatening in that way, which makes him adorable. So
and then he is able to play off of a female performer who's kind of has more of a cachet to, like, I don't see Ranbir taking on a role like this because it almost feels like a supporting role, where Imran it doesn't feel like a supporting role because he just is that person. And the same thing within in a movie like Mere Brother Ki Dulhan, where he had Katrina to compete with and Ali Zafar, which he's like charm central, you know. So I think Imran is the only one that can pull off these roles.
And I agree. And even if you look at Anjani, did you find Ranbir Kapoor was such a misfit as Akash in that movie?
No, I despise that movie, so go ahead.
Okay, there you go. See, there you go. I don't know what that... It almost felt like when I was seeing trailers and I was posting it up, everyone's like, oh, it looks like such an Anjani, like, redone. And I'm like, no. You can tell by the chemistry, you can tell by, you know, the dialogue promos they had. This is not an Anjani. I don't know what happened to that film. What was that film? I don't even know. So
again, I think that also was a studio picture that, you know, like Yash
Raj. That was clear to me.
Yash Raj and Dharma, they are trying to become film studios, and I like that. I think there should be a sense of professionalism and kind of a business model approach to movie making, because otherwise it just goes crazy. But I think there's also a flip side, and I think Anjana Anjana and even Ek Mein Aur Ek Tu are on that flip side, where it feels like just a coagulation of ideas, you know. Oh, who's the hottest male star? Who's the hottest female star? Let's put them together and make a movie that's smart and well budgeted, and let's put them in a foreign locale. And I don't know why it doesn't really work, usually, I feel. I mean, I think we're over that. Unless you have Shah Rukh Khan back in the early 2000s, then it used to work. But that model, for me, it doesn't work. It doesn't excite me as a movie. And I think that's why a lot of people were kind of turned off with Ek Mein Aur Ek Tu. But Anjana was a mess.
Oh my god, Anjana Anjani was such a mess. I could just tell by the overhyping, like, every day, by, you know, what's going on. So I don't know, and I felt like that movie was also trying to be a coming-of-age movie, but it just miserably failed, and it's the storyline. It was a lot of things. That's why even if you compare the two, I don't think you can. I look at that film because it was also two huge stars, like you said, at that time, and they had it in Vegas, and they're traveling all over the world. They had the road trip, you know, the thing, and then they had the thing on New Year's, and it was, like, holiday season. But I like that this movie was so different. And you know what? It's very different from my typical romantic comedy in Bollywood. Like, this is like those little independent films they make in Hollywood, right? Like the small relationship and trying to find yourself and trying to find that girl or boy. So,
well, I guess I that's an interesting point, because I want to talk about that. Like, how different is this movie? Because I feel the people that haven't seen it are all saying it's completely the same as so many rom-coms we've seen. And people that love it, which is not me, but I know that it got really positive reviews from a lot of people that are, I would almost call, like, cynical film fans, you know, like Rajiv Masand gave it a pass.
Yeah, Mir Fadnavis. Mir Fadnavis, you saw, also said, he thought it was okay. Which is, like, a huge thing, because he smacks the shit out of every movie that comes out from Bollywood all the time. I noticed that, too.
So, and you're also mentioning that you find it very different, where I feel maybe it's because I watch a lot of Hollywood movies and the quirky indies movies that we're referencing, something like 500 Days of Summer or Garden State, where pretty much what Karina is playing is what's called the Manic Pixie Dream Girl.
Yes, yes, you're right. Yeah, I was just going to say that because I was looking at that too when I was going through the film. Even like when I was seeing One Day, I saw One Day recently, a lot of those like just boy-on-girl interactions, the entire movie is that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Like, she's that girl that, like, transforms everything. Even in Almost Famous, the way, like, Kate Hudson did it to that. Yeah, it was very, very much like, you could tell, though, that's why they chose her to be opposite him. Otherwise, can you imagine if it was somebody that was not her, like a Shraddha Kapoor or someone of a thing? Oh, my God, this movie would have gone flat, like, no tomorrow.
Or Deepika with a red mesh.
Oh, my God. Kill me now. I love you, Deepad, but you cannot pull off this role. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there's not many roles she can pull off, actually.
Okay, yes, you're right. I mean, she looks good. I don't know. She needs to. Okay. Yeah, that's anyway. Like another thing we can talk about for like 5 hours.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, let's talk about why. What is it about this movie? When you say it's different from rom coms, do you feel different from Bollywood movies, or do you mean just different as. Because a lot of people were referencing Woody Allen, a lot of people were referencing 500 Days of Summer. I didn't get it. So, maybe you can explain to me how is this movie different from other movies?
Okay, I thought this movie was different in terms of Hindi cinema, in terms of what we've seen in Hindi cinema. I find when we do romantic comedies, either they're on a level of Yash Raj, where they stick in family drama, melodrama, like exotic locales, singing, dancing saris, to the point where it's like, holy shit, this movie went from a simple story of a boy and girl to something that's like, oh my God, in 3.5 hours. Or then you get to that really small... you know, you get to like a romantic comedy like this, which is like, you know what, there's just a boy and girl, like very easy flow of conversations. It's so simple. I loved that they did the chapters thing. You know, when the movie was going on, they were like day one, day two, day three. I thought that was like genius because I've never seen that before.
But it was Kal Ho Na. That was Kal Ho Na safe and like Teen Din Ladki in that
okay,
thing.
Yeah,
and...
but that was just one aspect though. This was the entire movie, okay. Right? And I felt like it was the simplest thing, but to me it showed creativity and like vision, and for me it's like the smallest things in the movie made it, like, you know, the way they're using symbolism, like his father's like, oh, this is a very important dinner, make sure you don't mess it up, and he's doing his tie for him, and it's like that news, it was
that
like
noose.
It was the news where he was like tightening his tie, and for me it was like the littlest things, because I feel like most of the Hindi movies I see, when they make scenes that are like just them talking, it's so fake. Like, you can tell, like, oh, I said this, pause, ha, 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 pause, this, you know, it's so made up, I can't ever think that, oh my God, this is a conversation I could actually have with somebody.
Yeah.
So for me, this film, I can understand why people are saying it was a very Woody Allen film. Someone's like, oh, it's very Before Sunset, Before Sunrise. I didn't see that, because that was like a complete talky film.
Yeah, me
that
neither.
Was like them just talking, that I was like, no, you need to rewatch that film again. But I thought this was very different for Hindi cinema. I mean, I've never sat for 3 hours and not been completely bored during a romantic comedy in Hindi cinema. I've had that so much, it happened to me so many times. Like, it just loses itself in the second half, or you can't feel anything between the leads, and you're like, really? You're falling for him, and really? You're falling for her? Kind of thing. Why did you, I mean, okay, I also see a lot of Hollywood films, but I could feel for our cinema, for now, it was very different for our time.
Well, I think a lot of the difference in it is kind of in the reveal at the end of the movie, which is, again, I want to talk about a bit later, but like for me, it's a very opposite attracts kind of setup, you know? She's so quirky, like she rides a scooter, she has one red mesh, she has exactly the right amount of boyfriends, so she's not a slut, but she's not a virgin. He's so stiff that his hair is parted on the side, he irons his socks, he wears dress shoes, which they should zoom in twice in the movie about his dress shoes, and both of them live in a bubble where they have no friends, and this movie is set in Las Vegas, where they cast the worst white extras ever. Like, that is something I need to, like, if you're gonna spend so much money in the States, get a decent casting director that can get you some extras that doesn't make me pull out of the movie. I mean, it's funny, because in a way, they're working towards the NRI crowd, like you, yeah. like me, but it feels like people that have never interacted with a white person before.
And I saw that they had, like, a Vegas line producer, so I was like, okay, clearly he must have helped them, right? Hello, you clearly had to have a Vegas on-set crew, so, like, where are the rest of your people?
Yeah.
Like, everything was authentic except for the white people.
Yeah.
Like, that's how sad it felt.
I feel that's where the director Shakun Batra loses it for me, because these are the moments which should ring true and ring false. Like that pivotal scene where they are in front of the wedding chapel and this drunk white guy kind of steps out, and that is the worst drunk acting I have seen in my life. And it's a pivotal scene in the movie. The other problem I also had with his direction is, like, if you compare something like 500 Days of Summer. Have you seen 500 Days of Summer?
Yes, yes, I have, 50 times.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I love that movie, too, so I've watched it numerous times. So the difference between a manic pixie dream girl as played by Zooey Deschanel or played by Kareena Kapoor is, we as an audience love Kareena already. You know, so it's not a sell to make us believe that this character is real. Whereas to me, Rihanna didn't feel real. I didn't feel this Kareena, although she's a great performer, I didn't feel Kareena is Rihanna. Whereas Summer and Zooey Deschanel feels very close. And I think they're not close. They're not the same people. But the director, the way he shoots it, the way he etches out that character, it makes you feel that this is a real person, where I felt Shakun Batra wasn't able to do that. And the third problem I had with it is I felt like this is one of my gripes, is I hate directors like man-child directors that are basically telling a veiled autobiographical story about how they got dumped. And I think this, like, everybody that knows Shakun Batra probably knows who his Rihanna was in college. It was, like, I did read this morning, I mean, I made these notes after I saw the movie on Friday. This morning I read on Open Magazine that it was actually a collaboration between the hairstylist in Janetu and he was 80.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the backstory is, if they fell in love or they didn't fell in love. You're saying...
I'm telling you, and the hairstylist is Avantika Malik's best friend, and she recommended her to do Imran Khan's hair. So they've been friends for so long, right? So I'm sure there's something that happened in their inner circle.
Yeah.
Something has influenced. It's just like Ayan Mukherjee when he made Wake Up Sid.
Exactly.
Right? That was completely his, like, life story.
Exactly.
So,
and same
right?
with even
yeah.
Break Ke Baad, with Danish Aslam's personal
yes,
story, I guess.
Yes, where Shruti Sait, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I hate those movies. I hate those movies. Because I fundamentally...
Please, they're so relatable. I like them.
I think I'm fundamentally a different person than these guys are. They seem... I mean, I was never a man-child. Like, I'm almost a man and I still act like a boy, but I was never a man child. Like, I was never 25 and struggling with my feelings and being independent.
Okay, there you
I
go.
Had this issue standing up to my parents. I was always a very dabang kind of guy, you know, like why they would never be able to cast a Salman Khan in one of these movies, you know, and
no.
I feel I'm closer in affinity to somebody like that, who's a man's man in a way, you know, so that is one thing that it's not relatable to me, but for you, it is different, right?
Yeah, I found it was so relatable. Like, holy shit. I found, oh my god, there were so many parallels where I was sitting with my mom and watching this, and we're like, holy shit, they should show this to every freaking Desi parent, because I felt like it was so relatable, especially, like, you know how you said, is it really necessary for them to put it in a foreign location? But I think the whole idea why they tend to do it in a foreign location is, yes, they want to appeal to NRI, but it just makes it so much more isolated. And I feel, in a sense, especially if you're South Asian and you've grown up in a very Western culture, I could see a lot of parallels between my friends, between people I know, and the two characters in the film. And it's like you said, it's your personal experience. If you've never had that, like, very lost, oh my god, I'm 25, I'm about to have my quarter life crisis, you can find yourself so relating to Imran Khan. Like, I could totally find my, like, what am I doing with my life? Where am I going? Okay, I'm just going to go here. I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea of him living in constant fear and guilt of his parents because of the expectations they put on him, I've seen that with so many people. That's why I gave a shout out to Rina Mumbai's podcast, where she talked about being open and, you know, communication with your parents, especially when you're Desi, because I see that so much. Like, they would rather just say yes, yes, yes to their parents, and then, you know, suddenly hit an age where they're like, holy shit, what am I doing? And then they see other people like this Rihanna, where they're like, how come you're so, you know, you're so happy and your parents are like that? It's because of their environment. I think that also had to do with it.
I find that interesting, because I did see you mention that on the sticky, and anybody yeah. who's listening to this show, definitely check out Mumbai Talkies by Reena Mumbai. It's an excellent podcast. That it was mm-hmm. episode 2. It's available on iTunes, so definitely check it out. But mm-hmm. I felt, because I was listening to that episode and I listened to the sticky, I felt the choices that the people on the podcast made was something that was a lot more intense, and they made those choices at 16, 17, not mm-hmm. at 25, and the resolution of the movie wasn't, let's throw a fit at dinner with my rich parents' guests, you know? And that's one of the problems I had with a movie. In a movie, you need to figure out what the stakes are. And I think mm-hmm. in Ek Mein Aur Ek Tu, you kind of lose track of what are the stakes, actually. It's about it's not about standing up to your parents, because basically mm-hmm. what happens at kind of the, not the end, but the resolution for Imran Khan character is that he throws a fit at the dinner table. And that is something yeah. that the little boy opposite him should be doing, not Imran Khan as 25. So maybe that was kind of some sort of projection, or some kind of look, I can liberate myself, maybe you can liberate yourself, but you should mm-hmm. be, as a kid, liberating yourself at 16, not at 25, because at that point, you haven't figured out too much in life.
Yeah, but I find like, even, but then the message I took away from Reena's thing was, it doesn't matter what age you are. I feel like now, with like people going through, you know, where it's such a time right now for being basey right now, that I feel like everybody I know, most people, were 25 or 24, and we're so lost right now, that for me, that whole, like, dinner scene where he, like, freaks out on his parents was just him letting everything go that's been building up, feeling at them, getting the hell out of there, and being like, you know what, parents, deuces, we'll talk when we talk. And I really like that. It wasn't like a perfect halt. You know how in Bollywood we always finish everything? The parents were like, oh, we're so sorry for after 25 years from treating you. Go do what you want. I like that they didn't have that. Yeah. Because his parents are never going to, like, both his parents are in their 40s, 50s. They're not going to just suddenly turn and just change everything they have.
Yeah.
Because their kid threw a fit, right? So they're like, okay, clearly he's gone psycho. Let him go do what he wants. And it was just like that. And I liked that he had his little outburst, and then he felt so much lighter. He went to talk to Rihanna, and then he just went back home. I thought that was... I like that scene a lot.
What I did like about that scene was the performance by Imran. I think he doesn't get a lot of chance to kind of, you know, step out of his mold that he's put himself in. So I did like how he performed it. Maybe I wasn't a complete fan of the writing of it, but I understand that. I mean, another scene that really a lot of people were raving about was... maybe we should now get into spoiler section, right? We've been talking about it for 25 minutes. I think if you... The thing is, I feel when a movie has a twist ending or a spoiler ending or something like that, it's important to talk about it, whereas a lot of people don't want to talk about it because it spoils the movie, you know? So here at UPostcast, we talk at length about spoilers. So let's talk about one of the key scenes, is that kissing booth scene, right? Or kissing spot. Kareena in India takes Imran back to her high school. And she's showing her all the spots, and kind of Imran makes a move on her, and it kind of goes wrong. So that was kind of the other standout scene, right?
Yeah, that was like the big scene for me, which I thought was so reminiscent of Up in the Air for me, because you know how George Clooney takes
Vera Farmiga.
Yeah, to his like school, right? For me, I was like, oh, that's cute, they're totally gonna make out, and then it was like that. I'm like, oh. Sadness. So that was a kind of sad scene. But then clearly they had no kiss in this movie, so I knew something was going to happen. So, I thought that was a great scene. Clearly is autobiographical because it's so perfect in the setup and the way they did the whole scene. I thought it was a great scene.
Yeah, it must be kind of embarrassing for Shakun Batra's wife to go watch that movie and like see all the mishaps his husband did before they met or something.
I know, right? Oh my god! And like, who was that awkward girl in the staircase? Who did you take there? I thought it was cute, and I loved the way Imran Khan, you know, had his little thing afterwards. The follow up to that scene, I loved it. The confrontation with Kareena, where he's like, I don't understand you. Yeah. I thought we were like, you know, we're together, and what are you doing? And first you tell me all these things, and they, because it's such a classic thing to do. I mean, come on. No doubt. I know some people were like, oh, well, you know, clearly she's been with a lot of guys. Don't you think she'd know not to lead someone on? People read into shit that is not even there all the time, right? Like, it's not like you say A, but to me I hear B. That's just, I mean, that's just the way it is. So I was like heartbreak during that scene when it didn't happen.
Yeah, I think that is one of those references to 500 Days of Summer again, where...
Yeah, expectations and reality.
Exactly. But I think where Summer was always very clear about... what she wanted, and she wanted didn't want to have like a serious relationship, and the guy just didn't see it, you know. And I think they do that a lot better in 500 Days of Summer, where Ikmil too does kind of muddle the waters. Mm-hmm. But also, it's kind of coming from our expectations, you know. We want like these stars to get together. I thought it was kind of a smart play, because when they announced this movie, I felt this couple would not go together. I didn't feel there was any chemistry between Kareena and Imran, and they only look like a big younger brother and an older sister.
Oh, snap. I can't believe you went there.
So, I mean, I know like now he has a bushy beard, so he's kind of butching it up a little
bit. Team buddy! Yes.
But, I just felt... I think that was kind of a smart way to play about it, because when you look back at the movie, clearly there was no romantic chemistry between them. So it's only clear that they would end up becoming friends, or the girl would at least say, let's be friends, or I thought we were friends, because that's the go-to line for a lot of women when this kind of...
Friend-zoned! He got this shit friend-zoned out of him.
Exactly. Yeah. Do you believe that they are going to remain friends? And also, if they remain friends, is this good for Imran to remain friends with a girl like that?
I actually think, for me, when I finish the movie, and she's like, you know, and he's like, oh, you know, we never know, we could end up something more. To me, it's like she understands him better than he understands himself, so she can see that if they get into a relationship, this is not what he wants. He needs to grow up, learn to be independent, grow up from that man child phase he's in, and get to know himself better. So with her telling him that he needs to be friends, it's more like, you know what, you need to work on yourself, then maybe we can have something, because I clearly need to be by myself, figure myself out. To me, it's like that. Maybe in a couple of years they would get together and like have lots of babies.
See, again, I think this is a lot of projection, like where you stand in life, because I don't feel any chance at all and together.
Okay, is it only because they didn't like sleep together before that?
Not at all. I just feel
like what happens in Vegas?
No, I just feel, as a guy, if a girl says, let's be friends, that's the moment you need to move on with your life. And again, I think that's
okay.
Where...
Okay. Oh my God. Okay, wow. I haven't said that to many people. Okay.
Like, hanging around the girl and hoping that she falls in love with you is the worst thing you can do.
I am giving such bad advice. Like, I love you, I'm not coming to work. Okay, wow. So, to me, that's just like a hopeless romantic.
I think that's where the age difference and the experience comes into play. You know, you're 25, 24. I'm already like just over 30. I've lived these things before. Advice I can give to guys: if a girl says, "I want to be friends," move on, find another friend.
No, I remember. Yeah, someone was like, "I already have lots of friends." Oh yeah, and I was like, okay. This has gone bad. Okay, next. Yeah, I know. It's a classic line. I don't know. There was just something there. And I actually like that they didn't need to show, like, too much, like, and a sexy time between them, or hints at sexy time, to know that there's something between them. I still feel like there's enough something there that as time goes on, it builds. And come on, like, the best person you can ever be with in your life is someone who's your best friend, right?
Yeah.
So to me, that was, like, the foundation. They become friends to best friends and maybe something more.
Yeah, but I think a lot of it is also timing, and I think their timing is off, and when timing is off, it's very hard to kind of...
to go together, yeah.
And I think now we're talking more about personal experience in the movie. We're showing our inner demons here, but...
Oh my God, yeah, no, I'm just like hopeless romantic. I feel like if it's going to work out, it's going to work out one way or another. So for me, if they make Ink Merrick, dude, they're totally going to have, like, 50 babies.
Yeah, I see Rihanna in a couple of years going out with a divorcee dad with two kids and, like, a heavily Botox face. That's what I see in Rihanna's future.
Oh, snap. You have a crystal ball. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, were there things that you liked less about the movie? Was there anything that stood out that didn't work for you, even though that you really loved the movie?
Let me think. I thought it could have been a little bit funnier. I think they were in really good situations. I like that they took it to different places, like, oh, they went to a spa, and they're having conversations in their car, and he's picking her up, and he's taking her here, and they talk about their interviews and their life, but I felt it could have been much more funnier.
Yeah.
And I feel like that humor that comes with, you know, just two people talking, that conversational humor, I don't feel like we've reached that point in script writing in Bollywood where it's, like, good. Like, you know how some Hollywood movies, you can literally watch Before Sunset, Before Sunrise, or any Woody Allen film, when they have really heavy talking parts, it's so engaging, it's so fun, and you actually wish you were between those two people, or with a certain person, because you want to have that conversation. With me, I don't even find films like that, like we have.
Yeah,
like, we're not good with conversation pieces, which is, I don't understand why. Even, like, I was watching Zindagi Na Milegi Dobara again.
Yeah.
Those conversations they were having, like the punchy one-liners, they were not punchy if you watch it again. You're like, really? Like, it's such a pause, right? Like, if you do miss that. So for me, that was kind of the thing. Because I was like, wow, you have Imran Khan, you have Kareena Kapoor. Clearly the script has to be hilarious. And then you have like a few laughs every hour.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a downer for me.
Yeah, I think it's hard when you compare something to a movie by Woody Allen. But Woody Allen is a smart guy. I don't think Shakun Batra is that smart. And he can't write a script. I mean, I don't think it's a snap or a diss or anything like that. I mean, it's first time
for
he's
not smart.
Yeah, he's not. I mean, he can watch a lot of...
Sensibility.
Yeah. I think... And it's funny because a lot of times they're referencing Woody Allen, who's the most independent of filmmakers. He's been railing against the studio system for 30 years now, and you are making the most studio picture ever of the year. It's set with stars in foreign locations, so how are you then? I mean, I'm sure you liked Woody Allen, but I don't see a lot of that in your movie. So, I mean, I just feel the movie wasn't smart enough, and I think a lot of issues is... Imran Khan can't figure out his life because Shakun Batra hasn't figured out his life. I still think he still hasn't figured out why the Rihanna in his life didn't want to go out with him. And that scene where Imran is frustrated with Kareena, that is Shakun Batra or the writer's frustration against that girl. And he hasn't figured it out yet. Where if you grow up and you kind of take distance, you do figure out that the signs were there all along. Not a relationship that was going to work.
Yeah. Or maybe he was just projecting his own insecurities and his own inner turmoil on her.
Yeah.
So he's like, well, I do everything for you. I'm always there for you. Why don't you? And then you give me all these hints. Because he doesn't understand it because his parents are like that. Otherwise, you could see the way, you know, Kareena Kapoor's parents are so, you know, open. They're like, oh, clearly she bought this guy home who she, like, got married to.
Yeah.
They're going to get divorced now. Like, you could just tell... She's very open and she can read people much better than he can. So I think that was kind of playing in because this dude is like living in like a freaking bubble, man. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know. I don't even think he understands like female male relationships. Like he doesn't understand at all like how it works. So for me, it was like he's just like blindly walking, chasing after a girl like a puppy dog and, you know, somehow hoping that things work out. And it's like you said, you're right, that it was not smart. Like, the script could have been so much smarter and the thing could have been so much more edited down. There were so many things that were just kind of, like, useless. You're like, I don't even think sometimes Bollywood writers understand that if one scene doesn't lead to another, why do you have that scene? It may have taken you 4 days to film it, but if it doesn't make sense, cut out the damn scene, you know?
I also agree with the editing because I did like that flourish of day one, day two.
Yeah.
But I think it lost it then. Like, it was suddenly appearing, and where almost in Kal Ho Na Ho, which is 10 years older, they did it a lot smarter, where suddenly the pizza guy was day four or the waiter was day
five.
And I think that's what they should have played with. I think what they were clearly going after was 500 Days of Summer again, where the editing was so smart that you went from day one to day 500 to day 32 to day 349, and then it kind of made sense, where here it was just a visual flourish that went nowhere. I think definitely that stood out for me. Another negative for me was kind of the music of the movie.
You don't like Amit Trivedi?
I love Amit Trivedi.
I
loved all of his soundtracks, and I think this was kind of his sellout album. Like, he's kind of getting into the studio mold. He's losing all the creativity he's had. And I feel it's just a restraint Amit Trivedi. I liked a few of the tracks. I liked
Gubare was so cute.
Gubare, I liked. I liked also the way it was shot, like very well there. And the Ek Mein Aur Ek Tu
title song.
Yeah, where that was dope. A little saxophone on the back, trumpet, whatever that is. I'm not good with
that.
That I really liked. I hated Auntie G, and I know a lot of people love it.
Oh my god, I love Auntie G. She's so fun.
She looks great though, Kareena.
Oh my god, she looks so good. And can you imagine? They didn't even film that in Mumbai. That was filmed in Vegas.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, because her hairstylist was saying it took us like 7 hours to get her hair perfectly curled. Because it was so cold that her hair kept getting flat, so I was like, I totally understand that.
Yeah.
So yeah, they filmed that there. You could tell it was nicely. I liked the whole concept; like it was so cute. And did you see his wife, Avantika Malik? She was in the blue dress.
I wouldn't have recognized her, honestly. I don't know what she looks like.
But you read the Daily Honey, so how could you not know what she looks like? I went there.
No, she just looks very like a normal girl, you know, which is kind of cool for Imran. Did you notice, by the way, when he was having that bathroom scene, she was texting Avantika Malik on the phone, right?
Yes, it was. Yeah, yeah. And she's like, this is so boring. I thought that was so cute. Oh my God, can we talk about Samia Mehra and how much I like love her?
Is that because you guys share a haircut?
Or I used to. Yeah, no, I don't. I grew that up. Yeah. Okay. I actually think she looks so much better without bangs. I think those were clip-on bangs because she doesn't have those anymore. Or maybe it was because they filmed this a year ago.
Who is she? I don't even know who she is.
She is Vinod Mehra's daughter. Vinod Mehra. Yeah, that's his.
What has she been in, or where do?
She was in that movie. Oh my God, Teen Patti or something.
Oh, Teen Patti. Yeah.
Yeah, she was with that. That was like her first film with Amitabh Bachchan and. Thingy, but after that, yeah, she doesn't do. She's like in every magazine, though. She's super like model, and she's great fashion sense. But yeah, this is like, I don't know, so surprised because I didn't expect her in the movie. Like, they never talked about her, like, ever.
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't think it would be a selling point per se. I wouldn't know where this woman suddenly came from. I didn't understand.
Yeah.
They were going out, but she was like super sexual suddenly. And was Imran Khan's character a virgin? Or not? Like, I don't get that part. Like, because, like, you know when that, where she's saying, have you had sex? Because he didn't look like he's ever had sex.
He looks too stiff. Yeah, and the way she's all like, oh, you've changed so much. And I'm thinking, no, he's just pretty much the same.
Yeah.
So I was like, I didn't know it. Yeah, and I don't understand why she keeps pushing him. Kareena Kapoor keeps pushing him to go on a date with Anusha. I just didn't understand that. Like, why?
Me neither.
Like, was that like a plot device? Because for me, it wasn't furthering the script. It was just a hilarious moment when he walks out and he's completely soaked.
Yeah.
That was like funny. But other than that, I was like, and she looks hot. And she has nice shoes. Okay.
I also think, I don't get why, like, I think that's again where I kind of get back to the studio pictures. They needed a comedic beat there, and then they kind of build back a scene which doesn't make sense to the total narrative. And I don't know, why would you want to go bang in the bathroom anyway? In like in a restaurant? Like, do people still do that? I mean,
I don't know. Or like, it's like you're trying to be funny. And it was, you know, it was so weird, awkward, is that in my theater, there were so many little kids who came, and like, and so their parents are like covering their eyes and they're like, don't listen to this. And I'm like, why would you bring your children?
Yeah.
And second of all, that made no sense to me either. Because like, if he was trying to say, like, maybe like she was trying to give him, like, you remember in, what was that movie? Remember in Kabhi Alvida Na Kehna, how they're like teaching each other how to be more sexy towards their partners?
Yeah.
Like, and then they practice in the, you know, in the, on the bed, and then they take, Shah Khan takes Ronnie to that sex store. Like, that for me, furthering the plot, right? Showing them that, like, it's not like Kareena Kapoor taught Imran something, and then she's like, okay, go. Like, where was the thing where she's like, you're so different now? I didn't even know. That whole part needed to be cut out. Like, what was the point of that?
But I think that's where the problem lies, is that Shakun Batra is writing, and he sees, what do crazy, adventurous people do? Oh, they have sex in a bathroom. So let's write a scene. And I think that's where his immaturity comes into place.
That was, like, really weird. And same with his co-writer, that girl, I don't remember what her name is, but, yeah, like, really random, totally not needed. Not that it was, like, funny, and I like Sonia Mehra, but I really didn't think that part was, like, very necessary. Like, please, you can use that for something else. Or just cut out the whole thing.
Yeah.
It was just, like, to me, when they do that, it makes me want to, like, poke out someone's eye. Because it's, like, why did you do that? Like, why? And you're right. It's, like, you see a completely good film, and then it's, like, bam, stupid scene. And you're, like, I think coming back to what you were saying about it being relatable, I do think that if you're in a certain age, or if you're, like, my parents and you have kids that are that certain age, you'll be able to relate.
Yeah.
But obviously, there are still some themes that he was going for, coming of age, relationships, parental issues, blah, blah, blah. So I still think majority of the people that I found after I talked to have watched the film, the same things we go through. Maybe it's just because it's the same age group.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like because we grow. And I really feel like if you're overseas kid, you'll really understand this, because breaking away from your parents is one of those things you have to do eventually.
Yeah.
Especially if you're overseas, much more than if you're in India, I find.
Yeah.
Even though teens are pretty much the same. Yeah. Even though teens seem to be the same, right? Like everywhere. So. Yeah.
The other thing that I didn't like about the movie, for me, it felt like there was this key scene where Kareena says it's okay to be average.
Perfectly average, yeah.
I hate that. Like, I hate that statement. I don't feel it's okay to be average. Like, I think it's okay to be at ease with what you are as a person. But to attain averageness, that, like, again, but I think that's where
fundamental. Are you relating? Are you relating, like, being average, like, mediocre?
Yeah,
like, are you saying that it's okay to be? Yeah, okay. Because I thought when she said perfectly average, to me, it was what you said before. Like, you're just happy with who you are.
Yeah.
I didn't take average to mean mediocrity, but yeah, I can see why you'd be angry.
Yeah.
It's kind of a backhanded bitch slap.
It is.
Bow, you're average, bitch. Yeah.
Because I think Shakun Batra is an average filmmaker. I think this is an average movie.
He's a perfectly average film, yeah. But there's nothing wrong, because it made like 20 crores in like 3 days, so you know.
What was the biggest success last year? Bodyguard, you know? So, I mean, seriously, do you want to talk about box office? And I love all these people. I love all of these stars attached to it. You know, I get so much shit about, I hate Shah Rukh Khan, or I love Salman Khan, or all this kind of stuff. But I don't, I'm not a fanboy. I mean, I'm not like, you know, they're just actors to me, you know? So, maybe I don't like their persona outside of the movies, but I want to see every movie do well, even this one. So I'm happy that it made their money. I'm happy Shakun Batra can make another movie where he learned from the mistakes he's made on this one. I don't want, you know, like this to become like, oh, this is the perfect movie, he made tons of money, so let's make another one like this, you know?
My god, I hope this doesn't become a genre, because I can't deal. And because the thing is, you know, for this to become a genre, you need to be a goddamn motherfucking excellent scriptwriter.
Yeah.
You need to understand nuances of scriptwritings, which I don't think people in Bollywood understand. Like, I don't know what book or manual or class you're going to. No idea about plot devices. No idea how to write a script. No idea how to write climax and intro scenes. And no idea how to create good conversation. How do you, like, take, you know, words and translate them to scenes? Please, for the love of God, please.
I wonder if it's kind of the studio or the producer that is blocking writers, because I see a lot of writers complain about this, you know, that there's no assignments, that they can't do what they want, so I don't know where the problem is, because I think Shakun he went to the States to learn filmmaking, right? Or he's not like a homegrown filmmaker or anything like that. So.
Okay.
He did learn, like, how he should be making movies, but apparently he forgot when he was making this one, so I'm being a bit too hard,
but,
though. I mean,
I mean, like, when you watch such, you know, we watch such good independent films that come from Hollywood, whether they're by studios or not by studios, and you understand that it could be the most normal of actors, but when you have the script, it elevates it to such a point. Even having like a new director, there are some films that are so fucking brilliant, and then you have films like this where you're like, you expect so much more. Like, I loved it, but I know I could have like friggin' like killed somebody over it if it was so much better.
Yeah.
Like, people, I don't know why we can't write good scenes, or why we can't translate good scenes onto screen. Like, why?
I think a lot of, probably stars have their hangovers, the producers have their hangovers, and I think a lot more, it's more about the business, you know? A lot of times when I'm having discussions with people on Twitter, or they're complaining about if I didn't like a movie, they always get back to, yeah, but it made that much money. I was like, dude, I don't care how much money it made, you know? Like, Hitler was voted democratically, you know? It doesn't mean anything. Like, shit like Big Boss and Big Brother are huge shows. It doesn't mean that they're good shows, you know? You shouldn't be watching
them. Critical and commercial is two very different things in Bollywood, but we like to say that they're both together when they're not. And I feel like the more I get into more filmmaking, and I'm like assisting, and I'm working on writing scripts, the more it just irks me to the point where it's like, I really want to go in and love a film, but things like the most simplest things and situations and scenes just, it disappoint me so much when I'm watching Bollywood movies that I'm just like, it's like painful. you know,
yeah.
sometimes to sit and watch the films, and you're like, you could have done so much more.
Yeah.
I can understand why people said, you know, it could have been a little bit more mature a director, because no doubt, if this is his, like, basic film, then I'm sure after maybe 5-6 years, he can definitely do a better,
yeah.
much better version than what he did.
Yeah, I hope he does. I really do hope he does. I'm always in support of new filmmakers. I just feel like Karan Malhotra was, for Agnipath, was also a new filmmaker, and he did such an excellent job.
Oh my god, Agnipath was like next level shit, man.
And that came from the same studio only a month ago, also with big stars attached to it. It was... It had the shadow of the, being a remake. This was kind of fresh content. It had other stars, really popular stars. And it didn't break the mold like Agnipath did for me. So that's why I feel slightly disappointed. Because the credit in my mind that I had built up for Dharma, I kind of lost it again. So maybe I need to watch Agnipath again. So
yeah. Well, what's the next film? They've literally got like 9 other films coming out this year. So
really? Which ones do you know? Because I mean...
I actually saw like a press release. They've got 9. But I didn't bother reading it. But so it's gonna be a shitload of films coming up. And plus, and I like that finally they're making very genre specific films in a way. Like you know how before they used to make very massy, markety films. So like they had to appeal to everybody. So you could tell with this, it was a very certain demographic. It clicked clearly. Plus, I think it definitely had Dharma magic. I mean, come on, when you got such a big, and you know how their production, you can see their production value. Yeah. Everything is so perfect. You know. To the point where it's like it's not even real, because it's like, wow, you can like totally bump into Kareena Kapoor in a supermarket, please.
It's the Dharma Yashraj sheen to movies, you know, everything.
It really is. It really is. So, I mean, I loved it. Could have been so much better, but I loved it. It's my final thingy.
Yeah, I mean, I made my thoughts clear. I think it had good potential. It had some good elements. It didn't really connect with me, because I think fundamentally I'm just a different person than Shakun Batra is. And there's just so much of himself in this movie that I don't think me and him would probably get along as people. So that's why me and his movie don't get along completely. I'm glad that it did well, and I hope he gets to make another movie. I did like the performances of both the stars. So there were good elements of it. On the whole, it didn't like appeal to me completely. So, yeah. So I think that's our review for Ek Mein Aur Ek Too. I just want to quickly ask you before we leave, because this is this whole Valentine's thing, right? We have quite a few rom-coms coming. So we have this one. We have Ek Deewana Tha coming next week or this week.
Oh, this week. This week. It's coming on Friday. Yeah.
Okay. So I'll be posting my Prateek interview. I was almost gonna call him Prateek Babar, and he would have slapped me virtually. So Prateek's interview and Amy Jackson.
Why he doesn't like his last name?
No, he doesn't want to be called Prateek Babar anymore.
Yeah, I saw that, and all of the press stuff, it always says Prateek, right?
He's very adamant about that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So I didn't go into that. Obviously, there's demons that I don't want to shake or anything like that.
Yeah.
And Amy Jackson, I've already posted. So, and then there's the Ritesh Deshmukh movie coming. Then there's
And Love Ho Gaya, which is a copy of a film, Danny Boyle's film that everyone keeps talking about.
Oh, that's that Cameron Diaz movie, right? I know which one it is. It's the Cameron Diaz Ewan McGregor movie.
Yes,
right, where he kidnaps
her. That's the one that everyone's saying it's ripped off. And I saw someone, I don't know who it was on Twitter, had written something like, "Oh, clearly this is that movie," and he got ripped apart by their publicity marketing team.
Oh.
I saw that a few days ago. I was like, "Oh, that is bad." Clearly on the defensive, because it is a copy. But I can't stand Julia D'Souza acting, so I'm not going to see that.
Oh, although
I mean, I think she's okay, but there's something about her dialect and the way she delivers her dialogue very much irks me.
It's
the gritting teeth kind of thing, like the way she...
It's a life less ordinary, I think that's the one that we're trying to reference.
Yes, yes, that's the one. That's the one, yeah.
And then there's Zafar...
Jodie Breakers.
Zafar, Jodie Breakers and Ali Zafar, London, Paris,
I'm New so York. Excited for that, London, Paris, New York.
I also did an interview with Ali Zafar, which I'll be posting when the movie's closer, so...
Are you excited for that, though? How do you think that is, like, blowing my mind, the trailers and the music and everything?
I think of all of those, I'm probably looking most forward to that one, just because... Ali Zafer is great in anything he's been in until now. I like fresh new faces. I like Aditi Rao. That's I think.
Aditi Rao.
She stood out for me in Dilli 6, right? And she also stood out. Really, she just has a very nice face, like to look at. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. Jury Breakers might be good. I kind of want Bipasha to do well, but I don't know why that is.
Do you think he's hot? Whatever. Jodie Breakers, don't even. Oh my god. Yeah. I was
who
like,
isn't hot like in Bollywood? Like seriously, like every woman is hot. You know, like you can't. That's for me.
I know, but I feel like I want Jodie Breakers to do well because of Madhavan. But I just can just tell by the writing and the way they've done the trailer. It seems like it's gonna be like squishing out every last laugh in the movie.
Yeah. Because it's like a Heartbreaker, right? That French movie we spoke about?
Yeah, it's going to be a copy of that. So, but London, Paris, New York, I think is going to be really cute. Again, it's written by somebody who's like a mid-20-something.
Oh, okay.
you're like, great. mid-20-something. She actually wrote and directed it. So, it's like a coming-of-age, finding-yourself relationship kind of movie from what I can tell and all the press releases and stuff. So I'm excited. Okay. I think it's going to be the best out of the day. And plus, come on, Ali Zafer doing music, hello. Yeah. How dope is the music?
Yeah.
I'm like loving it.
I've just listened to the first two tracks on TV. I need to get the album and listen to it completely. Yeah. He's such a multi-talented guy. But
he's ridiculous. Like, who is he? Like, who are you?
Yeah. And his hair is so fucking annoying.
I know. What is that? Like, and somebody told me, doesn't he look like Aladdin?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. There you go. That's why we love him, because he's like freaking Aladdin.
I actually asked him what his secret to his hair was. I think he did not like expect that question to come in an interview, so I think he was a bit flabbergasted, but yeah.
I love it. Oh my god.
So, Ek Deewana Tha, what do you think about that? Are you looking
I literally have been told since the movie came out in my thumbnail, I can't pronounce the name, the really long name, and by Gautam Menon, that this movie is like the most amazing, ridiculous movie. Krishna's in it, and you should see it, and the music is great, and I've been wanting to see it, and then they come out with the remake, and everyone keeps telling me the soundtrack is not as good, the Hindi soundtrack versus the Tamil soundtrack, and that I should see the original version more than see this. So I think I don't know how I'm going to see it in 2 days before I go to see it, but I'm excited. I really like Amy Jackson. She's like my latest like girl crush, and I love Pratik, so.
Yeah, she's wonderful to talk to also, like super nice girl.
She's so hot. Like,
yeah, that too. Yeah. But again, who's not hot, you know? In Bollywood, everybody's hot.
Exactly. Okay. So yes, excited. There's like 50 rom-coms. It's so weird. I just realized that.
Yeah, I want some more Dishum pretty soon, otherwise
it's coming. It's coming. Well, Ek the Tiger is going to come, then stuff like that, so cool. Eventually.
Cool. Okay. I think we did our final words on Ek Mein Aur Ek Tu. I mean, honey, really big thanks for joining us. Where can people find more of your work?
So you can log on to thedailyhoney.com for all of your news and everything that's going on in Bollywood. And also look out for my show, The Sticky. If you want, you can subscribe to it on YouTube. It's youtube.com/thedailyhoney. I post up new episodes every Monday to Friday. So yay!
Yeah, and it's one of the sites I pretty much go pretty every day to. So it's a great, all the content you bring out, it makes me jealous. It's amazing. It's such high quality. It's so good, and it just comes out of a place of positivity, which I really like. It's kind of snark free usually, so that's kind of cool.
Yes. Okay. I think that's the way to go, you know, Bali. Look at our what we just talked about. We didn't have the same opinions on the film, but at the end of the day, we still both liked it, and we wish everybody, the entire cast and crew, well, because that's what it's about, love.
Yeah, and that's something that I want to explain to a lot of people that are kind of always like hating on you or on me on Twitter. I see a lot of, you know, negative people kind of come back to us. We're really not evil people, you know. We really want to see everything do well.
Yeah, I know. So much haters, seriously. And I feel like, and you know, the one thing also is like with Bollywood cinema, I feel like it's our cinema, you know, at the end of the day. We can talk about it as much as we talk about it, but we still love to watch our films. We still love to spend 3 hours listening to song dances, and we love our stories. Obviously, we do criticize it because we just want it to be better. It doesn't come out of a place of negativity or hatred, which I don't think people understand. And come on, man, it's Bollywood. How can you, like, avoid it? You can't.
And like what everywhere. Would it be if there was no drama, you know? So we need.
I know Bollywood, like brown people are drama, so this goes perfect. It's like chai. You can't like live without it. So yay.
Well, okay. Us you can find on upodcasting.com. All our episodes are on iTunes, and we'll catch you soon with a new one. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Take care, bye. कर चलना शुरू तू
साथ में भले अलग है मंजिलें दोनों